Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, folks. Well, hello. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is great to have you with us today, this Thursday, March 26th in the year of our Lord, 2020, broadcasting our show from here in Brooklyn, New York, where they are shutting down streets now. They're telling young people they cannot get together on basketball courts, and they may even shut down the parks. We just don't know where this is going. But there's a lot of uncertainty here in New York City. Ground zero for this so-called coronavirus, the Chinese flu, whatever you're going to call it. And in other words, a lot of people are just a little uneasy here in the Big Apple. We're not panicked, but we're a little uneasy. Because it's feeling like, and I don't know what it's like in your neighborhood, but it's sort of feeling like we live in some sort of a police state. Are you getting that vibe in your community, in your town, wherever you might be? I'm talking about places like, I don't know, Chicago or Los Angeles, where they're telling the business owners, if you don't comply with the shutdown orders, we're going to turn off your water and your power. If you violate the stay-at-home order, you could receive some sort of a citation. In Chicago, Illinois, the mayor there threatening to punish people who walk outside of their homes. It is getting really weird out there. And we're going to talk about that today. But the Chicago mayor says anybody who goes outside to exercise, so if you want to go out and get some fresh air, if you want to take a stroll around the neighborhood, maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning down to the subway for a sandwich like Juicy Smollett, then you could be arrested. It sounds like a police state to me, right? I just call it like I see it here. We're going to get to that, but I want to start out with what's going on up on Capitol Hill. And I just want to ask you guys a question. Ladies and gentlemen, why did we give the Republicans the majority in the United States Senate? Why did we do that? Because I'm telling you, I've never seen people spending money out the wazoo like Republicans. They're behaving like Democrats when it comes to fiscal matters. So last night, while all of you were asleep inside your homes under house arrest, you were snoozing and slumbering with your MyPillow and getting a good night's sleep. While you were resting and having pleasant dreams, our elected leaders were up to no good. Last night, around midnight or so, the United States Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans, by the way, passed a $2 trillion spending bill. $2 trillion, the largest spending bill in American history. Not a single person who voted for this bill actually had a chance to read through the bill. We have read through portions of it, our staff here at the radio show. And I'm telling you, folks, there's some pretty horrible things in this piece of legislation. Now, the bill goes to the House of Representatives. The House is expected to take this thing up and vote on it Friday. But what troubles me is that not a single person on the Senate side objected to this atrocious, this appalling, this repulsive piece of garbage that you and I as taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill for. Not a one, including all of these people like Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott who are out there going before the cameras, going on Fox News and talking about how horrible the bill was. And so I'm very confused here. I mean, Lindsey Graham is telling the folks on Fox News this is a horrible piece of legislation that we're funding all of these left-wing projects. It's going to send the country down the path to socialism. And then when the cameras go off, the lights go out, he goes right back to his office and he votes in favor of this legislation. And I'm telling you, folks, it's pretty bad. Right now, if this thing is approved as is by the House of Representatives, and we expect it will be, you will be funding $13 million, giving $13 million of your tax money to Howard University. Now, Howard University, historically black college, and somebody pointed that out and they accused that person on Twitter of being a racist. But I am curious, why is it we're giving private colleges, a private college, $13 million of public money? Why is that? Why is it that we're giving $25 million now to the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts? Why is it that we're giving $75 million to the National Endowment for the Arts for poetry slams and paintings that typically disparage our Lord? Why is that? Why is it that the Republicans could not stand up and say, you know what, this is a national emergency. What's wrong with you people? The only thing that needs to be in this bill is money to help out the hospitals, money to help out the small businesses that we forced to shut down, and the hardworking American taxpayers who don't have jobs because we told their bosses to shut down the businesses. Nobody called a press conference to say that. Nobody got on national television. Nobody demanded airtime to explain what was really going on. And here's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. You had the Democrats holding America hostage, a gun to the head of America. And what did the Republicans do? The Republicans, they paid the ransom. That's what happened. And what is the first rule, ladies and gentlemen? You never negotiate with a terrorist. And that's what the Democrats are. They're political terrorists. They were willing to let you suffer until they got what they wanted. That is evil. And I can't imagine how dark the soul of Nancy Pelosi is. But what an evil woman she is. And Chuck Schumer, he's a moron. I think Nancy Pelosi wears the pants in that relationship. So I'm telling you, $2 trillion, and we still don't have any idea what this thing is going to fund. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars going to refugee and migrant assistance. That smells a lot like helping out the illegal aliens get settled in this country. That's what that sounds like to me. But we really don't know because it wasn't explained in the legislation. So earlier today, our good friend Jeff Stein, who is the anchor man at KXEL, a radio station that carries this commentary, he saw what I wrote on my Twitter page. He was doing an interview with Senator Joni Ernst. And I got to tell you, I kind of liked Senator Ernst until today. Jeff Stein asked her a question. He read one of the tweets, one of the things I had written, and he asked for her response. And her response, ladies and gentlemen, is what's wrong with the Republican Party today. And I want you to listen to the interview that happened earlier today.
Senator, good morning. The bill passed unanimously. There are some who are critical of certain funding in it that does not appear to be as tightly related to the current crisis. And one person even posted, what's the point of having a GOP majority in the Senate? How do you respond to those on the right side of the spectrum who say that the folks on the right in the Senate should have held firmer on this?
Well, holding firmer and delaying the package is not what we wanted to do. Certainly, I hope that individual is very thankful that we did not pass what Speaker Pelosi was proposing by inserting the Green New Deal and emission standards for our airlines, same-day voter registration nationwide, federalizing the election system. There were so many unrelated issues that the House members wanted to put into this bill, and that's what delayed us several days, is the fact that we did not have Senate Democrats that were willing to stand up with us and say, listen, we need to focus on coronavirus. So there are a few minor items when compared to the overall package that did get slipped into the bill. We know that. We understand that. But it was a way that we could get Democrats to agree to move the bill forward. What we have to understand, folks, is this is a pandemic. So arguing, nickeling, and diming at a time like this is unwarranted when we have a carefully crafted package that will provide relief to Iowans and to all Americans. Our unemployment this past week jumped to nearly 42,000 new applicants in the state of Iowa. That is unprecedented, and it means taking unprecedented steps to make sure that Iowans and Americans are seeing relief. So anybody that is nickel and diming out there, you know, good. We want to be fiscally responsible. But certainly in a time like this, when America is at a crisis point, we need to make sure that we're getting that relief out. And in order to secure the votes to get meet that 60-vote threshold, we had to entice some of those Democrats for voting for it.
Oh, I see. Oh, I get it now. So Senator Ernst, by the way, to secure the vote, she had to sell her soul, as did all the other Republicans, by the way. Nobody voted against this in the Senate. Nobody. Nobody, ladies and gentlemen. So to secure the vote, she admitted that she had to sell her soul, and she sold all of us taxpayers right down the river. Did you hear what she said? We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for what they did. Well, I'm not very thankful, Senator Ernst. She says that people like me, we're nickel and diming. We shouldn't be nickel and diming people. You know what? That's a lot of nickels and dimes, lady. $2 trillion worth of nickels and dimes. Where were you people? Where were you, Joni Ernst? Why weren't you out there calling a national press conference to expose these Democrats for what they did and what they got away with because of you, Senator Ernst, and everybody else up on Capitol Hill? Joni Ernst made her name by putting out all of these ads in the heartland where she goes around talking about castrating pigs. Well, you know what? You know who got castrated last night at midnight? The American taxpayer. And I do stand by my question, ladies and gentlemen. What is the point of a Republican majority in the United States Senate if they're going to act just like the Democrats and bow down and bend over every single time the Democrats want something? It's despicable, and it's shameful. And I don't know about you folks, but I'm sick of it, absolutely sick of it. So here's my question, ladies and gentlemen. What do you think the Republicans in the House of Representatives ought to do on Friday? Should they vote for this thing so everybody gets their paycheck and the Democrats get all of their pet projects funded? Or should somebody in America finally stand up and take some fiscal responsibility? 844-747-8868. It is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting some blowback already from people. Todd, why aren't you unifying the country? Well, what is the point? Seriously, I would love for someone to call in and explain to me why we need a Republican majority in the Senate if we're going to do everything the Democrats tell us to do. Where is the courage? Where is the backbone of the Republican Party? Why is it every single time? It's not like this is a one-time thing, but the Democrats, time and time again, they hold this country hostage and they refuse to budge until the Republicans capitulate. And that's what happened. And you know what? Yeah, some people are saying, well, Todd, it was 96-0. Shouldn't that tell you something that they were unified? No, it tells me they're all cowards. And they do not have the moral fortitude to stand up and say no. Nobody in there had the moral courage to stand up and say, you know what, folks? You're like, I get it. You're a Democrat. I get you. Some of you folks are rhinos, Republicans in name only. And I know you want to fund all of these pet projects. I know you want to give $13 million to a historically black college. I know you want to give all this money to a Gallaudet College. I get that. But you know what? Now's not the time for that. Now is the time to help the American working man and the American working woman who don't have jobs right now. Now is the time to help those small business owners who we forced to shut down their businesses. Many of them are going to go bankrupt unless we do something here. So can we, my fellow senators, my fellow colleagues, put aside our pet projects for just a minute? And just this one time, let's just have a clean piece of legislation. Can we not? Folks, is that too hard to ask? Seriously, why is it that the Republicans cannot do that? because you know it's going to happen again because it's happened in the past. The Republicans are spending like they're Democrats. But I don't know, maybe that's maybe what the younger generation of Republicans want. They want these Republicans to be Democrats. I mean, if you're not going to be a social conservative and you're not going to be a fiscal conservative, then how can you possibly call yourself a Republican? That's all. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Rhode Island. Our good friend Carlotta joins us. Hi, Carlotta. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Oh, so many things. But first, I have to say two things. I think you didn't realize Dr. Siegel, when he was on, you were, you know, going to another call, and he gave you such a wonderful compliment. When you said, thank you for being on, he said to you, Todd, you're one of my favorite people. Coming from him, that is high praise. Did you get that?
Is that right? I didn't realize he said that.
I know. I heard you go to another call, well, but he said that.
Well, Dr. Siegel's going to be on with us again next week, taking questions from all of you guys.
Good. Okay. And then the other thing is, are you aware that I have, this is just an aside, but not my main thing, but are you aware that you're saving a lot of marriages during this quarantine?
Wait, say this again. I'm saving marriages? I had no idea.
Yes, because when Nancy Pelosi drives me nuts, I start yelling at my husband, and he says to me, what do you want from me? Call that guy on the radio. Yell at him.
I love it. Well, I'm Todd Starnes, marriage counselor. I'm putting that on the business card.
Marriage steam valve. And by the way, you know, if you leave your building and walk down J Street, my husband supervised the building of MetroTech. So he can deal with a lot of stuff, but he can't deal with me and Pelosi.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from folks. I really do. Carlotta, okay. We needed a good laugh because this is driving me nuts here, what's happening in our nation's capital right now.
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
All right, you got 30 seconds.
Okay. It's the president who's being held hostage, and he's going to redefine the role of hostage. And what we've got to do is not only reelect him, which is pretty certain, we've got to make sure he gets the House and the Senate so he can reverse all this.
Well, I hear you, Carlotta, and I know we can't let the Democrats take control of the Senate, but these Republicans, what a cowardly bunch in the United States Senate. Not a one stood up for the American taxpayer last night, and that just it's unacceptable. Carlotta, I hate to do this. We're right up against a news break, and we're going to have to let you go, but I appreciate your call. And yeah, I get it. I understand the president's being held hostage. We all are. And folks, the mainstream media, we're going to play some audio from yesterday's press briefing. Unbelievable. The disrespect coming from these reporters, just unbelievable. Mike Huckabee, our good friend, coming up also a little bit later on. Kayleigh McEnany from the Trump 2020 campaign. Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. Folks, we've got a lot going on. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I honestly do not know what the nation would do without Governor Mike Huckabee during this coronavirus shutdown that we've all been experiencing. I think the governor has really his finger on the pulse of how serious of a situation this is. The governor announcing to the nation that we are now at DEFCON 2 because of the situation down at the Waffle House. Governor Huckabee, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Todd. As you know, and this is not a joke. I mean, a lot of people may think it is, but when FEMA is evaluating disasters, whether they're tornadoes or hurricanes, one of the criteria by which they determine how bad the disaster is whether or not Waffle House is fully operational, whether it's operating on limited hours and menu, or whether it's closed. And if it's operating as normal, they consider that a manageable crisis. If it is limited hours and limited menu, it's a very serious one. If they close a Waffle House in that area, it's considered apocalyptic. And so we have a number, over almost 400 Waffle Houses out of 1,200 that have closed. So, Todd, if anyone doubted the seriousness of the coronavirus, let me assure you, when Waffle House starts closing, it's real. And so, you know, I just want to point that out to all the people who like theirs smothered, covered, and peppered like I do.
I hear you. When the Waffle House shuts down, you better be packing up and getting out of town real quick. Real quick.
It's the real deal. You know, it's the end of the world.
Governor, real quick, but we got a lot to talk about. But you and I have known Robert Jeffers for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And I didn't realize this, that I didn't realize that Dr. Jeffers not only has some pretty good dance moves, but he is also an accomplished accordion player. Were you aware of this?
Neither of those so-called facts that you have just given me are in my learning curve. I must tell you, I was not aware that he was a dance genius. And frankly, I never took him for an accordion virtuoso. In fact, I'm not sure what even that would sound like.
Well, we're gonna answer that question real quick. Governor Huckabee, this is Robert Jeffers. This is from the First Baptist Dallas Facebook page. This is Robert Jeffers playing the accordion.
It's a good thing he's a fantastic preacher. That's all I will say at that.
So he's coming on the show later, and we've asked him. He's agreed to play the accordion on national radio. So,
you're not going to do that.
Oh,
really.
We're doing
Seriously.
It.
Seriously. The accordion?
The accordion.
Well, oh,
you have to have a little bit, Todd, of laughter.
Todd, it's apparent you have run completely out of material. When you start bringing on the pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas and ask him to play the accordion, you're harder up for guests than having me on. That's proof positive.
Well, you know, Governor, there's a lot going on in the country right now. And there is growing concern up on Capitol Hill about these attacks on civil liberties. There are some significant crackdowns in some of our larger cities. And I understand, you know, you have to self-quarantine and whatever. But now they're threatening to arrest people for going out to exercise in Chicago. They're shutting down gun stores in some communities. What concerns you about that?
Well, it is a concern because people still have not yielded over their constitutional rights. They have a right to assemble. They maybe shouldn't, but they have the right to. And short of declaring martial law and putting us under that level of essential government control, a mayor doesn't have the power just to say, you can't buy a gun, you can't buy ammo. In fact, smart mayors would be saying, if this thing continues to last, you might be prepared to protect yourself, your home, your family, because if people get desperate and they go to the store and they can't buy toilet paper, they may bust into your house to get yours. I'm being half facetious, but Todd, this could get more serious. We've seen times in our country when desperate people started looting stores and breaking into homes. If you're willing to wait for the cops to get there in 15 to 30 minutes, then fine. Just sit by the phone and tell them where to not only pick up your body, but call the next of kin. But I think a lot of people recognize that this is a time, no matter who you are and where you live, this is a time to be prepared to protect yourself, your property, and your family in case nobody else can.
And, of course, the big headline on Drudge, they've got the siren up with the red all-caps headline. American deaths will top 80,000 in the next 4 months. Mayor Bill de Blasio here in New York City said yesterday half of the city, 4 million New Yorkers, are going to come down with the virus. There is a lot of fear-mongering out there.
Well, there is. You know, I've been somewhat disappointed. Drudge seems to be beating the drum for the most outrageous, the most sensational headlines. If you look at that list of things just above the red and blue light, everything is gloom and doom. You know, I'm looking at this, and yes, it's serious, and I'm totally following the guidelines. I hadn't been out of my house in almost 14 days, and believe me, that's tough. I've been at home more than I have in the last 10 years, and that's not an exaggeration. I truly have shut down travel. Of course, all my events have canceled, so there's a lot of that. But in midst of that, you know, I sit back and I say, look, this is a very frightening time for a lot of people, but I'm also watching America do what America does best, show its resilience and its resourcefulness. We're hearing every day of people who are finding things that very well may be the cure to coronavirus, whether it's the malaria drug or whether it's the use of pulling lipids out of people's system that could cure it, or taking antibodies from people who've already had the virus and putting extracting the plasma. In addition to that, we have car makers who are now gearing up to make the medical devices. They don't have to do that. They're doing it because this is America and it's what we do. We've got truckers who are keeping this country moving by moving all the properties and freight one end of the country to the other and keeping the store shelves stocked if people would just quit hoarding. This is a pretty remarkable country when first responders are still responding. And when medical personnel are risking their own health and lives to be willing to see patients, more than anything, I'm kind of standing back and saying, my gosh, we live in a great country where people, instead of just curling up in a fetal position, they're recognizing responsibility to their fellow human beings. They're buying gift cards at restaurants to pay it forward. So, look, I get it. This is serious. But I genuinely hope, Todd, that people will take a look back and say, we found out some things. Athletes don't save us. We've canceled every sporting event. We're still alive. Hollywood doesn't save us. Every theater is closed, and we're still here. Even politicians don't save us, because you got people like Pelosi who can't agree on the basic things. But I'll tell you, it's brought people back to their knees, back to faith, back to God, and back to a sense of, as I use the two words, resilience and resourcefulness. That's the strength of America.
And what matters? What matters most? What matters most? All right, Governor, we're going to leave it there. I'm glad you're doing good, and here's hoping that we're going to be able to get out and get back to normal here in another month or so.
We hope so. Thank you, Todd. God bless.
All right. God bless, Governor Mike Huckabee, ladies and gentlemen. 14 days and counting. The president wants everybody out by Easter Sunday. That's his hope, his wish. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We'll just have to wait and see. But it really depends on, honestly, the mainstream media and whether or not these elected Democrats that are leading these states, the governors and the mayors, are going to get behind the true reality of the situation. And I'm glad the governor brought up Drudge Report. I don't know what happened to Drudge. I do not know, but he is no friend of conservatives, and he's become one of these megaphones for the left, one of these never Trump megaphones. Never thought I would say that, but that's where it is. Before we get to the break, let's go to the phones. Arlington, Texas. Michael listening to our live stream. Hi, Michael. How are things in Texas?
Oh, not too bad. Just hanging in there, watching people take walks and stuff, and just enjoying life. But I tell you, we got hit hard here too, because in Arlington we have the Cowboy Stadium, the Ranger Stadium. We have all those, and they're all shut down. So it's a hard blow as far as economics here too.
People are doing their best trying to help, you know, like the governor said, with the gift cards and, you know, ordering takeout. I ordered takeout yesterday, had delivery, and, we added, 50-60% on for the tip. But sooner or later, the money's going to be running out for all of us.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, actually, right before the restaurants closed, because we knew what was going on, he was convincing people to actually double our tips for those that are working, because they weren't getting that many hours. So, yeah, we were trying to do our best to help them out.
What do you think about this? The president's hoping by April, Easter Sunday, you think local businesses around town are going to be able to hold out that long?
Well, I mean, we're approaching Passover, and it's an interesting thing about the plagues and everything that in Egypt, and also obviously Easter. So both situations seem to be plausible. I would love to see it, quite frankly. Few people I know are also trusting the Lord that it be over by Passover or Easter, if you want to call it that. But basically, I personally believe, yeah, I think what the other gentleman said earlier today, I was listening about, yeah, basically concentrating on the places that have the heavy, heavy hitting areas, but let other people get back to the work and the economy, which is what I wanted to talk to you about when I called earlier, when I heard earlier. I think, this may be crazy, but I don't know, sometimes I think the Dems know that they're going to lose the election as far as bringing in the, President Trump will be reelected. And personally, I think, they'll probably lose the House as well to the Republicans, and then we'll have a majority in both. I think personally what they're trying to do really is tie the president's hands for the future, because if they can get some laws passed that he signs into, your bills passed that he signs into law, I'm not exactly sure, because I'm not one of the, I'm not a lawmaker, but I don't know if those things could be overturned as easy as they are once they're signed into law. And so they may be trying to force some things where he'd be tied up a little bit once he, takes office for the second term.
Could be. I mean, that's a possibility, Michael. My bigger concern here, we know what the Democrats are going to do, but every single time, the Republicans capitulate, they cave in, and we've got to put our foot down at least once. And I really felt like this was a great missed opportunity, especially with the atrocious spending that was, that was snuck into this thing.
Yeah, I think basically they're probably afraid of what their constituents would think about them, or, what the newspaper is going to say. I mean, I fear God more than I fear man, but they obviously have more fear of man.
clearly, Michael. All right. Hey, look, I hate to do this, but we're going to have to let you go. Michael, you be safe there, and let's hope that Babe's Fried Chicken down in Arlington opens up soon. I've eaten there a time or two. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back, folks.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Get right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. Tom, great to have you with us. I know you've got some big concerns about this coronavirus package, and apparently it includes some information on illegal sanctuary city policies. What's going on? What are your concerns?
Well, it makes it almost impossible for anyone, the Justice Department specifically, to do what it's been doing, which is to prohibit certain tax monies, Justice Department grants from going to sanctuary policies, to cities with sanctuary policies. So it undoes one of the most important efforts by the Justice Department under President Trump to at least hold these sanctuary cities accountable to the rule of law.
And yet the Republicans in the Senate voted for this thing. No one objected.
Yeah, politically, that's another question. There's obviously something in here that Republicans want done, which is aid for those people who have lost their jobs thanks to the decisions of local governments to shut down the government, to shut down the country. And so all of this additional material that Democrats get added in, I guess it's worth the price for them. I don't understand it, though.
Tom, what are you calling for the president to do here? I mean, if this thing passes the House of Representatives, goes to the president's desk.
Oh, I would reject it. I'd veto it if I were him. But, his people negotiated it for him, so it's almost impossible for him to do it at this point. It will be passed unanimously. It's been passed unanimously virtually by the Senate. and the House won't even have a recorded vote. They're going to pass it by voice vote, which means your House members, if you're listening, they won't have to go on the record one way or the other. It's just a terrible way to do business.
It really is. And it just, like you said, it undoes a lot of important stuff here. Tom, real quick, my greater concern, some of our major cities around the country are starting to look like police states, including here in New York City, where we broadcast this show. Your concerns about that?
Well, in some circumstances, cities are taking overly extreme steps to curtail the coronavirus. Here in the nation's capital, they just essentially shut down the city completely. In New York, they have a much more significant problem. But I don't need to tell you and fellow New Yorkers that maybe they're overreacting, even given the health crisis. We've got to keep the economy moving. A dead economy kills people just as much as coronavirus will. And so that balancing test has to be considered by our elected leaders. I mean, the American people are being subjected to an experiment right now, which is whether this virus can be contained by destroying the economy. And I don't know about you, but I think that experiment should be over.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. I hate to do this. We're coming up on a hard news break. Judicialwatch.org, ladies and gentlemen, got to bookmark that page. They're doing some terrific work there. Tom, appreciate you coming on, and thanks for giving us a heads up on this.
You're welcome.
All right, Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch. Folks, I'm telling you, step back and just ask yourself, why in the world would any Republican in the Senate sign off on something like this that literally promotes, funds, and protects sanctuary city policies that are killing American citizens? And thank goodness that the folks over at Judicial Watch are bringing this to our attention. It's just unbelievable. By the way, you want to know who's responsible? They're over there blaming President Trump for all of these deaths and all of the illness. Here in New York City, you literally had elected leaders putting out tweets telling people to go and ignore the coronavirus, to get out there and enjoy their life, go to the Chinese New Year, have a great time. Not a single person of the mainstream media, not a one, calling out Comrade Bill de Blasio or any other New York City Democrat who completely ignored the coronavirus crisis. Just think about that. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.